What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother DJ Cranked on the show. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Hey, name is DJ Cranked. Stefan, for those that don't like to use my DJ name, but I prefer to go by my DJ name, by Crank. Right now, I'm out in Anchorage, Alaska, originally from Mobile, Alabama. So, hoo-hoo to Mobile. Just moved out of here from Japan, from Misawa, Japan is where I just came from. So I was out there 5 years and now I'm here in Alaska trying to do big things in Alaska now.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to hear your story. I know being in the military, also being a DJ, got to be interesting. So I want to, you know, dive deeper into your story. Talk to us a little bit about what made you want to become a DJ and give us some insight on those early days walking into your journey as a DJ.
So interesting story on how I actually became a DJ. So prior to the military, I used to be part of a breakdancing crew. So I was a B-boy beforehand. Prior to that, 2010, I was part of Caution Crew, which is in Birmingham, Alabama. They still go out and do things. Hoot out to them. So I went out. I was with Caution Crew. I joined the military after seeing my dad. My dad had been in the military for 15 years, and he got hurt when he was in Iraq. So ended up joining the military, finished out his career. Fast forward a couple of years, still breakdancing up until 2014. So 2014, I got deployed out to Al Dhofra, which is in the UAE. So the United Arab Emirates, where Dubai and all that is, got out there. I was actually just sitting around. There was a DJ that was out there. He was playing. And I was like, you know, I could do this, like, because I break dance, so I should be able to listen and do this. So I didn't really dive into it. That was like my touch into it. I asked him to show me a few things. He didn't really want to show me or teach me anything. And I was like, ah, okay, whatever. And so I left 2014, October time frame. I got back to the States and everything, and I ran into a DJ. Was DJ Elios? He's currently in Italy right now. Another one was DJ Capone and a DJ Carlos, and actually all three of those DJs to this day, they're like big mentors, big inspirations for me. DJ Elios, he actually is trying to go up for a Red Bull, but those guys were actually who drew me in and craft me to actually want to pursue my DJ career. So I'm very, very thankful for those three.
That's super exciting, man. And it's glad to hear that you had mentors that can help you along that early journey, because it's hard to get started as a DJ. And by having those mentors, you're really learning from their mistakes and they're showing you the path. So that way you don't have to go through some of the hardships that other people go through when learning. Kind of helps you skip some of those early learning curves by being able to have people to lead you on that journey. It's super exciting, man. I would love for you to kind of keep on going with the story, you know, from there on out. You know, you had that great introduction when, you know, the people that you've, you know, listed were able to mentor you. But kind of where did it go from there, from that early introduction?
So from there, after the mentors and everything they taught me, I ended up going on my next deployment. Like, I didn't really do anything while I was in Georgia. I used that as a building foundation for me. And then I ended up going to Turkey in 2015. Well, while I was in Turkey, I have this DJ controller, still have it to this day. It's a Hercules Instinct. It's not real big at all. And I didn't really think of myself as really good because I had these three wasn't good mentors. DJ Capone, like, he played for Snoop Dogg. And I was like, this DJ is a world-class DJ playing for celebrities and stuff. And I'm just a little nobody. So went out to my deploy location, and funny enough story, I'm in my room practicing, like, cause you have this free time, downtime and everything. And I'm like in my room practicing, and somebody heard like me hooked up, like I was playing on my little small speaker that I had. They heard me playing, and then they were like, hey, I was coming back to get my, what's his name, iPod, but I heard you DJing, and I was wondering if you want to come out and come DJ at this little bonfire that we're doing. And I was like, nah, like I've never DJed in front of anybody. I just like sit here. And he's like, well, everybody's drunk. Nobody's going to care what you're listening, playing. Just play some good music and everybody will vibe out and be good. So I was like, I don't know. And he was like, don't make me unplug your stuff and just bring it out there. And I was like, okay, you're not going to have to unplug it. I'll bring it out there. And so I brought it out there and I started playing. I played like first two songs, completely train wrecked first two songs. And I was like, started sweating and ended up, I was like, yeah, I really shouldn't be doing this. And then it came up, what's the name? Some female, she walked up to me and she was like, hey, I love this, what's the name, song that you're playing? And then after that, I was like, okay. And then, and so I just went with it. And after that, like everybody just kept propping me and giving me good jobs. And it was like enough of an ego boost to actually keep me going and keep me motivated. So from that day, that was November, it was like November 18th, from like that day of 2015, I actually fully on pursued it. And so after I left Turkey, got back to Georgia, started doing a little bit of house parties there. And then whenever I actually got to Japan is where I fully took on my full like brand. And I actually went out, got flyers made, I got cards made, I got hats and jackets and shirts. I was like, if I'm gonna do this, like I'm putting my whole heart into it. And it was a way of me showing people like, I'm not that timid DJ that I was when I started. Like, this is me, I'm not going anywhere. You're either gonna like me or you're gonna love me. And that's how it is.
So, I love it. Yeah, that's a really great intro. And one thing you pointed out, the fact that you were very scared when you first got out there and did those two first songs, but a lot of the, you know, fear is in your head. And then once you're able to kind of dispel those fears and just go with confidence, you can really go in and really hold on to your DJ, you know, skill set and go in with confidence and perform very well. So, you know, for DJs that are just getting started, don't let the fears in your head stop you from doing a good job. Just have confidence and continue to learn and progress and make sure that you're just continuing with your journey and not letting anything hold you back. You know, at this time, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into DJ Crank's story and his branding. And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're hearing my brother DJ Crank. He's telling an amazing story about his intro to the DJ game. So, brother, tell us a little bit about your branding. You know, you just talked about, you know, after you went into Japan, you were able to really take your career to the next level and really invest, you know, all your time and energy, you know, aside from being in the military, to devoting to building your DJ craft. So talk to us a little bit about that branding and how you, you know, selected on the name or got the name DJ Cranked and what that branding means to you.
All right. So my breakdancing name is B-Boy Crazy. And I wanted something that stuck along that line, just in case if I ever decided to change my breakdancing name and I wanted to change it to my DJ name and just have both of them the same. Didn't end up happening that way. Still B-Boy Crazy, still DJ Crank. Well, DJ Crank actually came from when I was in Turkey, because everybody was like, hey, that party was Crank. And so it was just like, at the time, it was like a little, what's the name, phrase that was going on. Because you had the whole EDM scene going on and everybody's talking about this new drug, like Crank, the Crank drug. And so after that, I was like, you know what? That's going to be my what's name name. So ended up sticking with it. And so anytime like somebody talks about a party or anything and it's in reference to like what's name DJ Crank, he's going to crank this party. We already know this, like party's already going on to a new level. So, but when I actually got to Japan and I actually took on that name of DJ Crank, like I wanted to come out big, like because it was a new community. I didn't have nobody that I knew there. Like it was a completely brand new network. Actually, a big shout out to Military DJ Network. So the Military DJ Network, it's a community for military DJs, so we can actually branch out and link up with other like DJs and have a network. So if you go into a new area and you don't know anybody, there you go. You know somebody that actually might know somebody in that area. So the Military DJs was something that started by Elliot and a couple of other DJs. But going back to my branding, like when I got to Japan, I wanted to get out there and make it known like, hey, I'm here in Japan. I'm coming to do big things. Nobody's stopping me. And I wasn't like taking no for an answer. I got turned down by a couple of clubs, turned down by a couple of bars, but I kept pressing. I was like, this is my brand. Like, y'all are going to respect my brand because I respect my brand.
That's great, man. I would love to hear, you know, about your experience being a DJ in Japan. How does it differ from being, you know, a DJ here in the States? And talk to me about, you know, getting into these clubs and how being a DJ in Japan is, you know, the experience working with, you know, the audience, the Japanese audience.
So the experience of getting into a Japanese club is pretty hard if you don't know Japanese. It's really, really hard if you don't know Japanese. I got lucky because my very first gig that I ever got was at Bar Tipsy. Shout out to Lisa from Bar Tipsy. So, and shout out to her niece, Mary Chris. She goes by Mommy Nakur. But she's a Filipino, and I was talking to her at this thing that's called the Mokiteki at Misawa. She works up there, she did work up there. And it's like a Starbucks because they don't really have Starbucks in Japan. So the Mokiteki, it was a nice place to go and get a coffee. And so I went in there and I was talking to her, and then I was asking her because I was like brand new to Japan. I was like, hey, I'm a DJ and I'm trying to like get my name out of here. Do you know like any clubs or bars? Like, because I know you've been here for a while. Do you know any clubs or bars that are looking for a DJ? And she was like, hey, my what's name aunt's looking for a DJ. Like, it's not going to be that much, but if you want to go in there, talk to her, I'm sure she'll let you play because she's looking for another DJ. So I went in there, talked to her, went in there, played the first night. Bartenders loved me. The what's name crowd loved me. Granted, it wasn't like a really big crowd as the Bonfire was. It was a small like bar, probably about maybe a good 30, 40 people can fit in there. But it was enough that they opened the door and there was people on the what's name curb just jamming out. And like, they could not, like, we actually had the cops called to us because they're like, hey, you can't have this many people sitting on the what's name curb out here dancing and drinking on the curb. So that ended up happening. And what's the name, that vibe from that bar, it was a little bit different because Misawa is a Americanized city because you have the base right there. But my name from that bar, from the Japanese people who actually heard me, it started actually traveling throughout what's the name Japan. So my next gig actually ended up in Hachinohe. At a club called Club Marquise. Ended up DJing there and DJed there for about a good 2 years. And it was like a very active, like the Japanese people. It's weird because I always figured Japanese people love Japanese music, but they love westernized hip hop and they love Latin music. And I was like, what? So because they asked me to come out there and play, and I was like, I don't have any Japanese music. And they were like, just come play play at the what's name bar. They'll love it. Don't worry about it. Like, you're American, they'll love it. Don't worry. And I was like, okay. And shout out Michelle. Like, she's the not the owner, but she's like the head manager, promotion manager, and head barstas over there. Things happen there, but that's like here or there. But shout out to her. She was a great management over there. Love the what's name owner, Yusuke as well. He was a great owner over there as well. But leaving from there, I ended up going to Bar 4 or 5, which is in Japan, which was further down south. Like, I started progressing, like started in northern Japan and just started progressing down south. Ended up in Sendai, ended over at club. It's not a club 5-6. Ah, man, when he hears this podcast, he's gonna kill me for not knowing this bar. But he had an international night and he invited me to come out there, and I've actually not really known him. I know a couple of the DJs, DJ Wisdom. I knew a DJ Major Player. DJ Major Player is actually in Germany right now. But both of those guys actually became mentors to me as well, and love those guys. But they taught me so much about the Japanese culture, the way music was. And I actually learned that regardless where you are in the world, people love music. It doesn't matter. Like, you can play a hip hop song here, play it in Japan, play it in Germany, you're going to get the same reaction. You can play a Japanese hip hop song. Granted, people might not understand the language if you play it in the US, but they can catch the vibe. They can catch the momentum of it and be like, oh, I actually like this. Like, I don't know what he's saying, but he sounds good. Like, this man lit. But like, I learned that music is just universal. So, and I actually kind of like thank Japan for that experience.
That's super great, man. It's super exciting to hear you have such a diverse background in your DJ career. You know, being able to play in Japan, Germany, in the US, like, it's really nice to hear that, you know, music is universal and doesn't matter where you go, as long as you're a good DJ and you're able to read the crowd, regardless of what language they speak, you're able to still set the vibe and have these great, amazing parties. So kudos to you for doing that. And was it hard to like take requests or like song selection, given that, you know, the language barrier?
So initially it was, but like the Japanese were very perceptive to the fact that I could not speak Japanese, because they could see it in my face. Could I be like, what are you saying? But like, they were very perceptive to it. And what they would do is they would pull out their phone and it'd be like iTunes, Spotify, and they'll just show it and point to it. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah. And I'd be like, hi, I got it. Because hi in Japanese is yes. So I'd be like, yeah, hi. And so I play it. And then it'd just be amazing just to either watch their face just light up with excitement, or just watch like the whole crowd, like the vibe and the mood just change, and they just take it to the next level and just go wild with it. So it was a very fun. Got to learn actually a lot of songs that I didn't know. Like, I learned a couple of Japanese artists, so I actually like love a few of them now. So
that's exciting, man. And Japanese is a place, Japan is definitely a place on my bucket list, so I definitely got to hit you up once I make my way out there, man. And that's super exciting, man, that you were able to still communicate with the audience and still have a wonderful time with them, and that they were, you know, receptive to the music you're playing and also being able to make suggestions. Like, I think that's super amazing. It's something that you wouldn't expect, you know, as a DJ going into a foreign country, but it's still, the vibe is still music, and you're still able to make people happy, man. I would love to jump into, you know, what are some of the things that you're focused on now with your journey, and kind of how can myself and our community help and support you?
All right. So very top on the list, so since I mentioned earlier, I just moved here to Alaska, to Anchorage, stationed over at Joint Base Elmendorf, which is known as J-Bear. That's what everybody, the locals and everybody calls it. Since I just got here, I got here back in November 2020, of course, during COVID. So got here during that. I had a bunch of stuff set up and it just fell through because December they locked down the clubs and stuff and everything just fell through. So fast forwarding to May, I ended up with my first gig, ended up once again back to my stumping ground with bonfires, ended up doing a bonfire, ended up getting shut down by cops. So got two things there. We had about probably a good almost 300 people out there at that bonfire. It was a lot of people at that bonfire. But I ended up, so before the cops actually showed up, I actually ended up watching the crowd. I ended up shutting it down because it ended up getting a little bit like too much, and I was like, somebody's going to end up getting hurt. Somebody's going to end up getting injured. And that's reading the what's name crowd. And I was like, me being the DJ, I don't want to be responsible for this. So I was like, I'm cutting the music. And sure enough, I cut the music and stuff just went haywire. But that's neither here nor there. Ended up from that event, what's the name? Guy by the name of Darius. His name is DJ Delirious, not Delixus. I don't know where I got that name from. DJ Delirious. He had a DJ by the name of DJ Callen out of Los Angeles that came up here that was doing an EDM event. And I was able to go from doing a country and Latin music for the bonfire to a EDM night with them. Like, cause they heard me out there and they were like, hey, what's name? We'd like to put you on the what's name team and put you on for this event. Like, we had a DJ that fell through. Do you mind coming out here and what's name doing an opening set? And I was like, sure, like perfect. Like, because I'm looking for stuff to do. Everything that I did have like prior to COVID that I already had set up, it's already fell through because everything's shut down. So sure. And now I'm here. Fast forward, it's July 1st now. So now what I'm looking forward to now is like, I'm trying to get more events, getting my name out there. Like, everybody that I did know that was actually out here, the community, the DJ community that I actually did know, it's not, it's almost like non-existent because everybody's like trying to find their own way. Like, everybody's trying to get their own money right now. So like the DJ community, look like they don't really too much care about other people's brands. And they're like, I'm trying to get my own brand out here. So that's actually kind of like focused me to do a lot more releasing of mixes. So I've been releasing a lot more on Mixcloud. Actually, right now, as you can see, my DJ equipment set up behind me. Before the Zoom call, I was working on a mix. So, but it's caused me to just start working and perfecting on my craft. I do have future goals of going to the Red Bull freestyle competition and competing. So this journey right now is actually helping me to just better perfect my craft and everything. So
awesome, man. And before we jump into our lightning round, do you have any parting advice for DJs out there, maybe even specifically military DJs? Do you have any advice?
So for all DJs in general, respect your brand. Like, nobody is going to respect your brand unless if you're respecting it. If you're not respecting it, nobody else is going to respect it. I've had situations that happen in my what's the name journey where people didn't respect it, and they either, hey, like, here you go, like, we what's the name have this DJ gig, we can only play you what's the name $20 for it, but it's an 8-hour gig. No, like, would you go work at McDonald's for 8 hours for only $20? Like, it's not like, it's stuff like that. Like, know when like stuff is going to help your career, like stuff that you should do for free. Like, say, hey, there's a big time celebrity coming in, he has contacts and networks that can help your career. Like, knowing stuff like that and knowing when to take money and knowing what stuff like helps your career is what I would say.
That's great advice, man.
Association, that's what I was looking for.
Wonderful, man. And at this time, we're going to jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Yep, ready.
Great. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Ooh, are we talking about current setup or are we talking about also?
Whatever you feel like talking about.
Okay. My current setup right now is going to be my 1200s. I have the Technique 1200s, MK3s. Yeah. MK3s with a DDJ S9. And I run the phase and I run needles. I kind of flop between the two.
Who's your favorite DJ?
My favorite DJ. Ooh, it's going to have to be, it wouldn't be myself, but DJ Puppy is who I like. So
what has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
My favorite party and event is going to have to be hands down any kids event that I do. And the reason being is kids, they are not afraid to dance to music. And I love the energy that kids bring. And because of those events, it actually leads to other events for me because people are like, oh, he can make kids dance. Then, hey, he can make anybody dance.
Name a nightclub or a venue that you highly recommend people checking out, either in your city or anywhere in the world. I know you've been a lot of places.
So in my city, I would say check out the Willowa Social is where I would say. So outside of my city in Japan, I would say check out Bar Tetsu.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
The one thing that I believe that is missing for live streaming for DJs would have to be the real authentic crowd interactions, because sometimes with live streaming, you have that lag effect, or like if people are talking, you can't really hear the music. And so it, like if you're doing that over like a Zoom, it's not so much the problem with Twitch. The problem with Twitch is you don't have that real like eye to eye contact with people.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Yeah. So DJ Major Player, of course, DJ Elios and DJ Wisdom. Big shout out to y'all.
Awesome, brother. We look forward to hearing their stories one day on the show. And any DJ that wants to sign up and be on the show can do so at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So right now, I would wish that everybody just stay tuned on all my social media platforms or my website, everything. So Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and my website, as well as Mixcloud. All of them are DJ Crank. That's C-R-A-N-K-E-D. You can find me on any of those platforms using that name.
Awesome, brother. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're super excited to follow you on your journey as you continue to make it big in the DJ industry and being a military DJ. So congrats to you on everything you've accomplished. And yeah, everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Cranked. He's really doing it big. So thank you so much for everything, brother. And we look forward to supporting you and following you with the club. Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.